Hey folks, this is Jesse Cope, back with another episode of the American Soul Podcast. Hope y'all are doing well, wherever y'all are, and whatever part of the day you're in. Sure do appreciate you joining me, giving me a little bit of your time, a little piece of your day. I will try and use it wisely. For those of y'all that continue to come back, episode after episode, thank you. For those of y'all that continue to tell other people about the podcast and share it, thank you as well. Very grateful. And hopefully it gives you some extra tools for your toolbox. Hopefully it adds or gives a little something to our country, helps our country a little bit. Homestead. And no, there is something that I wanted to tell you, but I cannot remember it for the life of me now. So, oh, we had another snake out in the chicken coop. There's one thing. My wife is not impressed. We've had two in the last week, and they have been devouring our eggs. But we dispatched both of them. I really kind of like them around because they eat mice and rats, but not when they eat our eggs. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for you, Father, and your Son, Jesus Christ, and your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the time to record this podcast. Thank you for the people that listen to it and share it. Be with them and their families. Guide us, Lord, bless us. Surround us with your angels. Protect us from evil of any kind. Father, send us those who will boldly preach your word. Fill our pulpits across the nation with men who speak the truth. And help us to listen to them, Father. Soften our hearts. Help us to repent of our sins and turn back to you and your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to seek you with all that we are. To seek you first above the things that the world offers. Be with those men that do lead us. Be with their families. Protect them from evil, Father. And guide my words here, please. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. All right. Whew, Lord, excuse me. That's laziness, by the way. Not tired. Tiredness. So y'all know, if you've been listening to the podcast for any length of time, a couple months ago, maybe, we started doing some daily Bible readings. We started with the book of Proverbs, and we've gone into Matthew now. And I just have become more and more convinced over the last little while, and I think it has to be the Holy Spirit convicting me. I don't say that out of arrogance, folks. It's really just kind of logical, honestly. But it's just the intensity of the feeling that just seems to have come and stayed. The reason that we're struggling so much as a nation, the reason that our families are struggling so much, the reason that our marriages are struggling so much, is that we don't read the Bible. And then obviously you have to apply it to your lives, folks. But we don't read God's word. We don't know it. We don't meditate on it. We don't make it part of our hearts and minds. We don't memorize it. And some of y'all out there that listen to podcasts are going, well, I do. And that's great. I mean, that's phenomenal. It's so important. But as a nation, as a whole, we don't. And one of the biggest ways that you see this and where the left really got a foothold, and as I said in the last podcast, one of the places where you really have to condemn the church and men in particular, is when the Supreme Court made the decision of Everson versus Board of Education back in 1947 that took the phrase separation of church and state out of a letter by Jefferson. It's nowhere in the Constitution. It's nowhere in the Bill of Rights. And when you have a real understanding of the First Amendment, you see it's not even remotely there. They took the separation of church and state and completely twisted it to mean something it doesn't. And we went along with it. And so that just has allowed the left to really take God out of one more thing and one more thing, because they make the completely false comparison or statement that the First Amendment means that you can't have any of Jesus Christ in public policy or institutions. And that's the total opposite. We've talked about Joseph Story's comments so many times in his commentary on the Constitution, who was one of our preeminent Supreme Court justices, much closer to the beginning of our nation than we are today. And he said, you know, if the people had thought that the First Amendment was going to make the state indifferent or even hostile to Christianity, they never would have agreed to the Constitution, ever. And he wasn't just talking about just the elites. He was talking about the generation as a whole. Go back and see if I can find that real quick. I don't think it will take me too long. I won't search for it very long, folks. Yeah. Probably at the time of the adoption of the Constitution and of the amendment to it, now under consideration, he's talking about the First Amendment right now, the general, if not the universal, sentiment in America was that Christianity ought to receive encouragement from the state so far as was not incompatible with the private rights of conscience and the freedom of religious worship. An attempt to level all religions, to make Christianity lower it to the level of all the other false religions, and to make it a matter of state policy to hold all in utter indifference, would have created universal disapprobation, if not universal indignation. Right? Universal, he says, not even just general, but universal indignation. That generation just, they wouldn't have tolerated it. If they could see where we are today, they would have demanded the First Amendment be rewritten in particular and the Constitution changed before, amended before they would have approved of it. And this sentence in here that we've talked about so often shows the real difference, right? For example, having the Bible in public education doesn't violate the First Amendment rights. Teaching the history of our nation as a Christian nation doesn't violate the First Amendment rights. You don't have a right to come into America or be born into America and then demand that America no longer be Christian. That was never part of the deal. And so if we're going to have taxpayer money, as I've said so often, the whole job of taking money from individuals, whether you're talking about a union or taxes to pay for a country, to pay for education, it's to make that organization or that nation stronger. And the only way to do that in public education, and we need public education, we need education of our citizens, we're going to talk about that a little bit today, is to base it on the gospel of Christ. And so this all goes back to, we need to read the Bible constantly. And that quote by Horace Greeley from the 1800s, it's impossible to mentally or socially enslave a Bible-reading people, right? And our founders, and those generations before our founders, they knew that. Because for so long, in Europe in particular, people had been illiterate. They couldn't read. And they didn't know any better. It's one of the reasons it's called the Dark Ages, right? But they didn't know what the Bible said. They couldn't read it for themselves. And so they had to depend on leaders in the church. And a lot of those leaders that claimed to follow Christ were pretty evil men. And they combined the church and the state, which is, that's the real point of separation of church and state. They didn't want the state controlling the church. Because what did the state do? The state leaders said, well, this is the official doctrine, you know, church doctrine. This is our official stance on this particular part. And then they enforced it together, and the atrocities that were committed were just unbelievable. And so these leaders that did this, they knew that if they wanted to keep citizens in that kind of form of slavery, that they had to make sure that they couldn't read the Bible. And so you see this now. You look at our history over the last 80 years. It goes back to that, you know, John Dewey quote. And he said, we want to separate children from God and from their families. Why? It's certainly not out of the generosity of their own heart, because it makes us more easy to control, folks. When we don't read the Bible, when we don't know what God says, it makes us easier to control. It makes us more susceptible to lies and deception. In fact, before we were a nation, there were multiple laws, particularly about educating children in the Bible, specifically for this reason, so that the people that had come to America, they fleed this, folks. And this wasn't, you know, there's a lot of people that talk about being oppressed today, especially on the left. I'm oppressed. You're not using my pronouns correctly. You're oppressing me. That's a hate crime. You know, that's actually one of the things that they're going for over, I think, in Scotland right now. They may have just passed the law that if you mispronounce somebody, you can be criminally liable, right? It's absolutely clown world. But before I get too far off track there, these persecutions, these were real, folks. These were torture, imprisonment until death. There's a little excerpt in the Founders Bible, which I'm pulling this particular quote I'm going to read in a minute, but it's in the America's God and Country Encyclopedia of Quotations, I think. It may be in the Patriots Bible, I don't know. But in this little section, they talk about it's under titled A Conspiracy to Withhold the Truth. There's a sentence here that I wanted to read to y'all. William, these were all men that wanted to help the Bible become more available. They wanted to teach people to read and then make the Bible available to them, right? William Tyndale, George Wishart, John Huss, John Rogers, Jerome or Germany, no, of Prague, Thomas Cranmer. All of these were burned alive at the stake, right? Like they put a stake in the ground and then they chain the person to the stake and then they build up fire around the person and they burn them alive. Just because they wanted the Bible to be able to be read by people and the church and the state said no. Said no, you're teaching things that are contrary to the Bible doctrines that we approve of as a state. Another nasty little trend that you see today that has been around is because Christians couldn't read the Bible, one of the things that they were told is they needed to kill Jews. This is Christians being told that. You may not see Christians being told to kill Jews today, although I think there's a portion of our society that our Christian society are people that claim to follow Christ Where you do see that, but you certainly see the anti-Semitism again on the rise in America, which is just terrifying, folks, because if Nazi Germany, if you see what they turned into going into the Second World War, just imagine what we'll turn into as America. I mean, truly, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. We'll turn into a nightmare like nobody's ever conceived of. But then there's others here, right? Martin Luther, John Knox. Martin Luther was in Germany, John Knox in Scotland. They had to go in hiding. Robert Brown was put in prison, died there. And so you see all of these men that simply wanted to get the word of God to people being tortured, imprisoned, murdered. Which, by the way, men that are listening to the podcast, we have been doing a real good job of being willing to sacrifice to defend others. That's basically what these men were doing. They were serving God and Jesus Christ, but they were trying to help others be able to defend themselves by being able to read the Bible instead of depending on men with nefarious means, right? And so our founders, a lot of them, and those generations before, they came here escaping that kind of persecution just because they wanted to be able to read the Bible, because they understood Horace Greeley's quote that it's impossible to mentally or socially enslave a Bible-reading people. And so there's some laws. I don't know how many I'm going to get to them. The old deluder, Satan law, because Satan's the one, right? That's what this all gets back to is spiritual. You've got to be honest enough to admit that. This is a battle between good and evil. And so they made these laws to try and prevent people from being biblically illiterate. Think this is the wording maybe of both Massachusetts in 42, 1642, and Connecticut in 1647. I'm not real sure about that, folks. It's one or the other or both. It being one chief project of that old deluder, Satan, to keep men from the knowledge of the scriptures as in former times by keeping them, the Bible, the scriptures, in an unknown tongue. So in these latter times, by persuading from the use of tongues, common languages, so that at least the true sense and meaning of the original might be clouded and corrupted with false glosses of saint-seeming deceivers, people that claim to follow Christ but really were just deceiving, and that learning may not be buried in the grave of our forefathers in church and commonwealth, the Lord assisting our endeavors, it is therefore ordered that every township within this jurisdiction, after the Lord hath increased them to the number of 50 households, shall then forthwith appoint one within their town to teach all such children as shall resort to him to write and to read. So they want to teach our children to write and to read. And just out of curiosity, do you think our writing and reading capabilities as a whole nation are better now than they were 50 or 60 years ago? And it is further ordered that where any town shall increase to the number of 100 families or households, they shall set up a grammar school, the masters thereof being able to instruct youths so far as they may be fitted for the university. So they wanted to teach the children to read and to write, right? 1690 Connecticut law. This legislature, observing that there are many persons unable to read the English tongue and thereby incapable to read the holy word of God or the good laws of this colony. So the problem with not being able to read is first you couldn't read the Bible, and then you couldn't read, you couldn't understand the laws in the colony. It is ordered that all parents always our responsibility first, folks, and masters shall cause their respective children and servants, as they are capable, to be taught to read distinctly the English tongue. We need to read English. We need to be able to read the Bible. We need to teach our children that and any people that we employ and their children. Make sure you understand that, folks. And they were successful, right? John Adams, quote, we've read this before, a native of America who cannot read and write is as rare as a comet or an earthquake, right? But the whole point, folks, is that if we can't read and write, then we can't understand the Bible. And if we're not reading the Bible, then it's easier to persecute us. It's easier to enslave us. It's easier to deceive us. And that's exactly what's happened today. We rejected God. We rejected the Bible. We didn't teach our children this for generations now. And we're starting to turn the clock back toward the dark ages. All of these evils that we see in our country today, we don't understand them because we can't read, don't read the Bible. God bless you all, your families, your marriages. God bless America. We'll talk to y'all again real soon, folks. Looking forward to it.